Welcome to the Holy Try Podcast with AY, Dan, and Ken.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
Now it's getting started. I guarantee you that.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, the Holy Triumvirate.
What's going on, guys? Soy le bienvenue. Welcome back. Shout out to our French friends overseas. To the Holy Try Podcast week 11 recap. Holy smokes, flying by already. It's AY here, coming to you from the state, beautiful state capital, the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. Per usual, to my west, D-Berg, what's up, man?
Happy to announce myself as the official conductor for the Bob Davey back to Notre Dame train. Once Brian Kelly heads back to the NFL.
New Mexico.
Or heads to the NFL, I should say.
New Mexico.
The Stunner. 30-point dogs.
Wow.
Cannot make it up.
Hey, why are you off the train?
I'm off the train, yeah.
Defeated.
I figured you'd open with something else. Something similar, foreign affair, like in Japan.
Oh, my. We will discuss that in my closing remarks.
Okay. In Northeast, Ken, what's up, man?
Nothing much. It is still amazingly warm right now. I swear it was up in the 60s and gorgeous in the sun today. When is this terrible winter supposed to come? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Hopefully kind of soon. This warm weather is annoying.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I
almost wore a polo today.
We are back here to recap another wild week. You know, every week is wild nowadays. Let's get into some news notes here before we really hop into some games.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
We have a congratulations shout out to Keenan Reynolds, a quarterback that we've all played.
Yes.
He's played all of our teams.
At least once.
Yes. Some more than others. He has a decent amount of touchdowns against Notre Dame. Broke the rushing record of Monte Ball. So shout out to him. And we have a running back injured and a coach retiring. Dan.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake broke his arm and it'll be out 3 weeks. I guess they'll be keeping their fingers crossed to see if he can come back for the SEC championship. They do still have one Derrick Henry, though. So I wouldn't rush him back too quickly and save him for that incumbent playoff matchup.
Yes, he is a dynamic player. He's just getting back to form from his gruesome leg injury last year, so it was a shame to see him go down again. He's definitely been through a few injuries that have hampered him throughout the years, but one of the more explosive backs in the country.
Yes, indeed. And amidst that story down in Missouri, Gary Pinkel comes out with an announcement, Ken.
Yes, a somber announcement saying that this will be his last year in Columbia coaching as head coach of the football team. Not anything to do with what's been going on down there, but he was diagnosed with lymphoma and is now fighting for his life. It's a sad situation. We definitely wish him the best. Known, I'd say probably as the best coach in Missouri history. He's definitely led them to very prosperous times, including number one in the country. He's been to several high-profile bowl games and has had some very good teams throughout his stay there. A disciple of the great Don James out in Washington, him and Nick Saban, as well as several others, all came from that coaching tree, and he's one of the better guys in the sport, and obviously his players love him, and he loves them back, supporting them through many hard times on and off the field, as evidenced by just what happened 2 weeks ago. We wish him the best and hope he wins this next chapter and next fight in his career.
Definitely. And he is done, correct, even if he makes a full recovery?
Yes, 63. I believe he has said that he's going to go and enjoy the rest of what time he has left and try to live stress-free.
Jeez. Well, it is very hard to transition from that. So we're just going to go to some scores, try and get this mood right. It was a lot to celebrate over the weekend. Obviously, a lot not to celebrate as overseas that we stated. But the ACC, guys, we're going to have to wait for this, but the Sharps were all over a certain team, and that proved to be right.
That they were. Nothing to do with one quarterback being hurt.
Virginia Tech, I saw Beard put up the double fist on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
They took down Virginia Tech. Clemson got by Syracuse. Florida State doubled up. NC State, North Carolina rolled over Miami. And Louisville took out the Wahoos. Sorry. Nothing much going on in the ACC besides Carolina domination, and Clemson just kept going.
Who would have thunk it? Georgia Tech will not be going bowling this year. 3-7 on the year. 1-6.
Unbelievable.
The defending coastal champions and pretty heavy favorites.
Orange Bowl champions, right?
Orange Bowl champions. Yeah. Yeah. Just total 180 for Paul Johnson. And start firing up, I guess, the remove Paul Johnson or fire Paul Johnson.
Oh, and you know what's going to happen now. Nobody's going to be on that train next year, and
they'll win nine games.
They will win 9 or 10 games and be right in that ACC championship again.
Most definitely.
It's going to happen, yeah. It's definitely going to happen. Florida State got by NC State. Everett Golson went back to the old Golson with these just weird fumbles and weird tipped, deflected, intercepted passes.
I know, NC State was up early in that one, and Florida State pulled away late.
Yeah, Golson took a seat on the left bench. McGuire went in.
Yeah, because his career over. Barring,
I believe it is.
Yeah, barring a McGuire injury, I think he might be done.
What a run for Golson.
What a run.
And Marquise Williams in North Carolina just 31-0 at the half over Miami to a 38-point victory.
But where will the playoff committee have them this week?
I have no idea. Maybe 12.
Yeah, 12 where they're right where the AP and coaches have them.
No, that season opening loss looming larger and larger as the weeks go by.
Indeed, to South Carolina. Shifting gears, let's go out to the Midwest, the Great Plains, home of the one true champion.
Yes.
A little bit more to talk about here, I think.
Yeah,
we'll
start off biggest slow here. No, go ahead.
No.
You want to start off big? You want
to
come on?
No. You're right. We should build up to this one.
West Virginia gets by Texas 38-20. Boykin gets injured, and TCU just season just falling apart.
Oh my goodness!
Sneak by Kansas 23-17. Kansas two losses away from perfect. Huebner and K State, what a game! Started in FanDuel this week. 3 rushing touchdowns, but Texas Tech a little too much for K State. And then the 2 Oklahoma schools. Yay!
What to make?
I guess at least Baylor lost, so there's one loss for Irish fans.
Yep.
Now we're gonna need some more, as Oklahoma looked very impressive in a 44-34 win over Baylor, and Iowa State blew it to OK State.
I did not see
much of Oklahoma Baylor. So guys, tell me what happened.
Oklahoma Baylor was a pretty exciting affair. The rain was coming down hard, and you could see it affected the players a little bit here and there, but it was back and forth for most of the game. Oklahoma seemed to be a step ahead for all of it. Stidham got roughed up quite a bit. He was hurt. I believe he got hurt on the first drive, actually, according to our browse, but he stayed in there, and he was pretty effective for the most part, but had 2 very costly interceptions. Baylor fought, but once Shaq Linwood was and the running game was contained, it was tough for Stidham to operate. And you saw Katie Cannon, Lee, and the receiving corps had trouble getting separation from that fantastic Oklahoma defense. You know that Mike Stoops has been getting a lot of grief throughout his, not only his tenure, or his second tenure at Oklahoma, but also going back to his Arizona days, his defenses haven't been that good the past couple of years. He came up in a big way, and that defense put pressure on Stidham all day long, rattled the young quarterback. Young Stidham was rattled. Young Stidham was rattled, and that's a lot of credit to the scheme that, and the game plan that Mike Stoops called. I think that was a huge part of their victory.
I think the Big 12 is trying to get their street cred up with this game or something. Could you believe the chippiness? It was almost every play. There were guys pushing each other back and forth after the play. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah. And you Gus, love that scrappiness. You love to see it.
Love to see it. And there was, you know, Fowler and Herbie were making mention that they need to kind of get this one under control. Otherwise, it never really did blow up, fortunately. But it was, yeah, the chippiness was clear. I'm sure Oklahoma didn't like getting their keisters kicked the last couple of years by this team. So they came out and were the better side, honestly, from start to finish, in my estimation. Just Sterling Shepard, what a performance by him.
He's a small guy, but he just keeps chugging.
Keeps chugging along. And that Baylor defense, they are who we thought they were, or who they've shown to be all season, really.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they are who I thought they were. And who they've shown to be all season.
And I can't believe I didn't get her on the reverb. I got to take this up with Taylor Red Show Radio. Baker, the touchdown maker. Come on. Give me some credit from there. Put me on the reverb.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, nice day. 3 touchdowns. Ran for 76. Pirine, 28 for 166. Just Oklahoma's pretty solid. I mean, Shepard, yeah, 14 for 177, 2 tutties. Corey Coleman, 3 for 51. A little quiet there, Corey.
Yeah.
I guess you're not playing some of those teams they were playing lately. Well, I haven't even read what Art Browse has been saying, but
he's been kind of quiet, I think.
Yeah, well, he has to be. His tail between his legs now.
Yeah. And Art Briles, the past couple of years, his act has gotten old. Great coach, but his outward brashness and seems to be whining all the time. It backfires on him.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for Stoops to call it the SEC now.
Oh, yeah. You know that's...
That'll
be coming if he finishes 11.
Yeah, just get that going again and trying to deflect some pressure off his team.
Yeah.
Pull the old Rex Ryan move.
Yeah. And I can't wait if Alabama ends up 12-1 and they end up 11-1 and shut out. That'll be fun. The mic will be hot for him. But you mentioned about Oklahoma State, too. I don't know what to make of this team now. You got TCU throwing this clunker out against Kansas. And the only time Oklahoma State has appeered to be impressive, really, is against TCU. So I don't know what to make of this team now.
Yeah, no, it's completely evident now. Without Josh Doxson, this offense is complete and utter dog shit. And then you subtract a Trevon Boykin from the equation, and it becomes a burning, steaming pile of dog shit.
Yep.
Of utter dog shit, sorry. It is not good. What's there? Hopefully, for their sakes, they can get them back. I don't know if Don Best has an update on where we stand with them, if they're expected to play this coming week.
Not yet.
They've got a big one coming up.
Yeah.
And it could be ugly. It could get ugly if they are not available.
Provided Oklahoma wins Bedlam, does this just, like, the Big 12's out again, right? If you're sitting here, we're mid-November now, they're out again.
I don't know.
Their only chance is Oklahoma State going undefeated and having that case. Because
I don't believe that, because Oklahoma has been playing very well, especially depending on how they win the next couple of games. They've got to also, if Tennessee continues their upward swing, that's another good win in their books. Oklahoma's going to win a couple of good games down the road. Who are you going to keep them out over? especially with Notre Dame's strength of schedule taking a hit here, Temple losing, who seems to be their only good victory. Stanford lost.
This segment is oozing can bias.
I'm not oozing can bias. I'm just saying. There is just as much argument for Oklahoma here as there is for Notre Dame.
Hey, you don't need to tell me. I've been saying it too. I just think you're definitely more than happy to just start piling it on.
No, I'm just saying. Dang, I got Oklahoma out.
Oh, there is definitely some cam bias spewing right now. No, I think even with Stanford losing, which we'll get into here shortly, I think as long as Notre Dame runs the table, that I'd put them in over. At Stanford will be, despite how they look this weekend, pretty impressive.
Yes.
Yes. let's see. What's next up in the conference? Ooh, Pac-12. Let's just go right into that. Stanford, right. What are you doing, David Shaw, in the play calling? Super conservative. And can we get a hike that works? Two fumbled snaps in the final quarter.
Final two drives. Oh, not just the final quarter.
They got the gift, too.
They got the touchdown and then didn't get the two-point conversion.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
And what, Stanford's ball, I don't have it in front of me, like 44 minutes this game?
Let's take a look here.
Yeah, they took their out of the ball.
42 minutes and 6 seconds.
Oklahoma, Oregon's, I think, I was looking at a graphic or something. They had, like, touchdown drives, all of them were under like four plays long. It was a big play central for them, as we have been grown accustomed to seeing the last couple of years.
No, yeah. I mean, this Oregon team is weird this year. Vernon Adams only was 10 of 12. 10 of 12.
That's it? That's it?
They only ran 48 plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Stanford had 47 rushes.
It's, this is quite the head scratcher. I was paying more attention, I'll be honest, to the Oklahoma Baylor game, but this, I think Oregon, despite barely touching the ball, was the better team.
I don't know if they're the better team. I think Stanford was very stupid in not trying to push the ball downfield more. They really took the air out of the ball and ran out of time there at the end, especially with their mistakes and playing from behind. But the whole game, it felt like Oregon was lucky with these big plays. They weren't, you know, stringing together any long drives. And Stanford seemed to be in control, seemed to have them, but Oregon always would bounce back with a big play. And that's credit to them, but we'll see where Stanford goes from here. This is a game, or the last couple of weeks now, with their game against Washington State, they've been living on the edge a little bit. Are they contenders? They're not contenders anymore for the national title, but are they as good as we had thought they were?
I still think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Because you know what David Shaw did? He looked at that 2013. He looked at that 2013 game plan, said, dusted it off, said, "Oh, this worked." And that's what he tried to do. Whenever the team in a long time was superior in talent to Oregon. And that speaks to your point, Ken, about not pushing the ball downfield whenever they clearly could have done so in comparison to years past. They definitely have had the tools this year to take more chances, and they didn't do that.
They did not.
No, I mean, Stanford, they punted the ball one time. They had one missed field goal, an interception, and two fumbles.
Unbelievable.
And you lose the game. And you don't give up 40.
You still give up 38.
But you punt it one time. Stanford.
Yep.
It was a sad AY Saturday night.
Sad AY. Not good for strength of schedule day for Notre Dame.
I was happy USC came back against Cairns Buffaloes Friday night. After I watched pretty much all of that, that was exciting. Can's not lock of the week. Arizona and Rich Rod pulled off in double overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Although you guys did have Washington State and Legionnaire taking out UCLA.
I just picked the Legionnaire to cover.
Oh, I should have locked up Legionnaire to win outright.
Sun Devils took care of the Huskies 27-17, and Jared Goff gets off the schneid, lights up Oregon State for 6 touchdowns in a 54-24 route.
That's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, that's easy. And one more conference to get to, the Southeastern Conference. Missouri beat BYU after that long week. A&M took out Western Carolina. Vanderbilt, Kentucky, 21-17. I think that this over-under was 37.5, so just over. There, Vanderbilt with the win. Tennessee with a shutout. Or North Texas. Oklahoma SOS. Georgia, I didn't see anything of that game on ground.
This game was ugly. You might think Georgia had a good victory here, dominating Auburn. They did not. They were down 10-3 late in the third quarter. Got a drive, got a touchdown. It's 10-10, and they proceeded to run a punt back, and then directly after that, force a fumble, and they kick a field goal. So they 10 of those points were given to them. Or they get deserved credit for the punt return for touchdown, but that offense did not score 10 of those points. So,
do not be fooled.
Do not be fooled. And Auburn, I don't know what's going on down there.
They're going bowling now.
They need to use Jeremy Johnson. I don't think Sean White is the answer. He can't run that offense the way it's meant to be run. And the Auburn offense seemed to be clicking, especially when they go into that 2-minute drill and they're not thinking. They're just calling in rhythm plays, doing what that offense is meant to do. I don't know what the deal is and how they can't get into rhythm more often earlier in the game. Because the offense scored 10 points. Or was it 13 points? I forget.
13.
They scored that field goal to try to the onside kick at the end. But it's not good. Auburn had a fumble at the 1-yard line also, sandwiched in between that last field goal and then the game. So they mounted the drive, got a fumble at the 1-yard line. So it's Georgia, very, very lucky to pull this one out. Not impressive on either team's part.
No.
And what seemed to be a preseason game of the year candidate. As a do not watch game of the year.
Well, at the end of the day, Auburn's 5-5. So,
do they have one of those SoCon Invitational games in Alabama left?
They've got a Sun Belt Invitational.
Okay, so they'll make it to a bowl game. Hopefully,
they get Idaho.
They get Idaho.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why Idaho is in the Sun Belt, I have no idea.
They get a lot of sun out there. Not many trees on the plains, so, you know, the sun is just bearing down.
There you go. Alabama, business as usual.
For who? Oh, yeah, Idaho is in the Sun Belt, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. 9th place in the Sun Belt.
Roll Tide,
Dan,
roll.
Your lock hit. There we go. Lock it up. Florida, South Carolina,
24-14. That's all we want to say about that.
Very ugly game.
Yep.
Another very ugly game.
You've got to cover Perry Orth.
Oh, yeah, Perry Orth. Yeah, enough of that. Burt and the Hogs take out LSU 31-14. These Hogs are nice.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad they lost 4 in a row at the beginning of the year. Fournette,
these Hogs are nice.
91 yards for Fournette.
This is like
it's safe to say he has dropped all the way to what, third or fourth in the Heisman race now.
If that,
maybe behind Mr. Baker Mayfield. Mayfield Baker.
Yeah, this is like 2014. He just turned overnight. 2014, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah. It's a shame, but he'll be hungry next year. We'll see how he does next year.
Yeah, I think he could probably play now.
Yeah. You know who's the biggest loser, though, with this Leonard Fournette stock dropping?
Leonard Fournette.
No. Auction winners. The guys that paid $101,000 for his jersey. They're so, I mean, great cause.
Great cause.
Man, great cause. What, man, they bought when the stock was sky high.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like the when Johnny Drama buys Sandy Koufax's jersey in Entourage, thinking he was about to die, and it turns out his dog was sick. Leonard Fournette's just a sick dog.
Wrapping up the SEC, Alabama 31-6 over Mississippi State. The Crimson Tide looking pretty good.
I got nothing but love for the Tide. They're fantastic.
They are good. They are good.
Yep.
Can't wait to watch them in the playoff.
I'm pulling a Clay Travis. I saw he apologized to Alabama. I did that a few weeks ago, and I'm still just, yes, sorry.
You did that at the beginning of the season. 3-loss Alabama.
Yeah, I know. I was singing that tune after the Ole Miss game, and then I realized, oh boy. After a few more games, I was wrong. They're back.
They never left.
And cruising around the landscape, San Diego State 38, Wyoming 3.
Great for Penn State's strength of schedule.
How dare you skip over Northwestern Purdue?
You skipped over the whole Big Ten.
Oh, I did. I didn't even notice it. Was that an accident?
There was a dandy of a game.
A dandy in Bloomington.
Bloomington, yeah.
Besides that, what's serious? What is there to talk about here? Maryland, Michigan State.
Connor Cook got hurt, much to the chagrin of 1AY.
Yeah. Ohio State 28, Illinois 3, whoop-dee-dee.
That was an ugly game.
We're not going to mention the Nebraska game because I don't want to even give them other team a shout out today.
I won't say anything either. Good victory by Nebraska over a decent team.
Killing him inside, Dan.
Oh, I know. It's just screaming to come out.
Just two.
I'll give you 10 seconds if you can do it.
Just two tradition-rich programs. Very good victory for Nebraska on the road in a hostile environment.
Oh man, Iowa was fun. That was an interesting game.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Clearly the best 4-16.
BTN, football in 60 minutes. I watched Iowa Minnesota last night.
It was a dandy.
Yeah, it was exciting. And Minnesota they lose all the you wouldn't call them heartbreakers, but all the games that you can win, but you just lose by like a touchdown.
They are second half Nebraska.
Just two terrible teams going at it.
You take that back, Iowa's going to the national championship.
as Iowa beats Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl.
Now we can cover
the
rest. The
overtime in Bloomington. That was pretty wild.
Yes, that was exciting. Jake Rudock for Heisman. 6 touchdowns, a school record. Unbelievable. 4 of them to J.U. Chesson.
Who would have thunk it?
It's a great game. It was Michigan's had a couple of these now, just pulling them out by the skin of their teeth. They're bound to drop one of these. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Coming up, and you can't keep winning these. These 50-50 games are eventually going to go the other way. We'll see if it comes to bite them, playing these close games. But yeah, had to rely on a late, late touchdown drive from Jake Rudock converting on fourth down with like 5 seconds to go. And then holding them on fourth down in the second overtime to produce this fantastic victory. Exciting, exhilarating. I'll tell you what, I am extremely glad that Penn State did not have to face Sudfeld and Howard, and in replacement got Zander and Divine Redding. Yes, Penn State did all right against those. Zander.
You guys hear that train coming? That's the can. Midweek optimism train from Penn State.
You better believe it.
The old Michigan win, wink, wink, down to lose one of these, can right on schedule, baby.
Wait, I'm just saying, man.
We will not really know.
50-50 games are bound to go the other way. You can't keep winning them. Law of averages.
Law of averages. We will not know how Can feels about... Still going. It's still going. We will not know how Ken feels about
it. To State College. One-way train to State College.
We will not know how he feels about this game until the game is actually played, though. he has a keen sense for knowing how he feels about the game as the game is going on.
He does. He's mastered that.
Oh yeah. Clear as day.
Oh man, this went off the rails. Pun kind of intended there.
One-way train going through Hburg to State College.
You can probably get there, yeah. Snake along the river there. Yeah, it'll work. So there's your Big Ten wrap. Ohio State wins 28-3. They got a big one this week.
There was a play-action field goal. That's all I want to say. Check it out online.
Oh,
did you see the play-action field goal?
No.
All right, you need to Google or search Twitter for the play-action field goal in the Illinois-Ohio State game. It was glorious. And it didn't work.
Oh, my God.
It did not work.
Did not work.
I'm not ranking. We're going to get to Memphis-Houston. My lock misses by two because of a college kicker. We said it. College
How kickers. Do they know?
Ay, ay, ay.
Houston, Greg Ward didn't get hurt. They would have scored enough points for me, but Temple goes down and a ball flames to South Florida.
What? You realize Maryland beat that USF team by 18. I'm just going to leave that there.
Okay, let's keep going.
wait, we're talking about Maryland here.
No, we're not. No, we're not. You missed your window of opportunity.
Coming along. Didn't want to let us stop there.
Air Force, solid team. 35-28 over Utah State. Where else are we going here? Chris Alt's old team, Nevada. Nice win.
Shout out, Scarp. Pony up.
Pony up already.
Wow, some of these games. I think that's pretty much all I got as far as games. What you want to do? Colorado State, UNLV. No.
No, thank you.
One game I'm dying to get to. I didn't see any of this. Let's get some more try games. The games, the Sharps were all over. They were pounding them. Dan, what went on there in Durham?
First of all, we can briefly speak to the line movement. Pitt was a 3.5-point underdog almost all week. And then you could just see it at 8 o'clock, it was 3. 8 o'clock in the morning, it was 3. And then it was 2.5. And then it was 1.5. And then Duke finally announced that starting quarterback Thomas Cirque would not be playing. So I think that could be the reason for the movement, but I think the sharp money was on Pitt regardless. First of all, I was wrong about Pitt's offensive attack. Nate Peterman only threw for 180 yards, and Pitt ran. They did exceed James Conner's production in last year's matchup, running for 268 yards as a team. Part of that is Pitt getting up by two possessions about halfway through the third quarter. All the swing plays that I love mentioning in Pitt games specifically, Pitt seemed to get. They were fortunate on their touchdown drive to start the second half. I think it was Jeremy Cash, I believe. Excuse me, Breon Borders made a fantastic interception in the end zone, but kind of got called for a phantom pass interference, which kept Pitt's drive alive. And then Nate Peterman was able to hit J.P. Holtz for a touchdown pass. And on the following drive, Tyler Boyd had a nice 35-yard run-ish. Then he fumbled it, that he fumbled at the end of, but Pitt was also fortunate to recover that, and then they went down and scored another touchdown. The one thing I did, I think I texted you guys this, I was cracking up about, on Duke's following drive, Ross Martin, their kicker, he's a pretty good kicker, but he hit a 51-yard field goal where the ball bounced off the bottom of the upright and then went through the uprights. the camera quickly pans to Pat Narduzzi, and you see him say, "That's fucking bullshit." I said the same exact thing after it went through. But yeah, first half was really 50-50. Duke blew some opportunities to get points on the board with a... It was kind of a creative. The guy was open on a fake field goal from the two-yard line, but fortunately, I can't remember the gentleman's name from Pitt that batted the ball away. I'll have to look that up and give him some praise on the next pod. Was able to bat the ball away, and Pitt took over at their own three. That was really a big play in the game. Duke kind of lost some momentum there, and then Pitt went into the half tied 10-10. But just all around, good game planning. Nate Peterman, mistake-free football. And I was kind of impressed with Duke's, the man that filled in for Thomas or Parker Boehm, but just not enough offensively, as I've mentioned almost all year. Their offense is just not very good. Good win, good team win, big one Saturday, and then the following Friday, as Pitt hopes to stay alive for the Coastal Division Championship. On to NC State.
On to the Wolfpack.
On to the Wolfpack.
Still don't know what to make of that pack of wolves.
Oh, not NC State. Wow, on to Louisville. Dan, you idiot.
On to the Cardinals.
On to the Cardinals. Not sure what to make of them either.
No, I don't know either. Katrina magic.
Something like
that. Or lack thereof. Watch out for Reggie Bonifon.
He could come in. Who knows? Your guess is as good as mine who's going to be playing quarterback.
He could be a quarterback, receiver, or running back.
Yeah.
Playmakers. The other whole try game of the week, Notre Dame, 28, Wake Forest, 7. Talk about a brutal game. Notre Dame looked like, to steal a phrase from Can, dog shit.
They did jump out 21-0.
Yeah, Wake had the ball 36 minutes, Notre Dame went for 24. Wake outgained Notre Dame by 60 yards. Notre Dame ran... what, 49 plays? That's it. Wake Forest was like up in the 80s. Actually, no, 74. Will Fuller, 3 catches, 37 yards. Josh Adams, besides a 98-yard touchdown run, only had, 43 yards and 16 carries. Proceis didn't play. Otawalo got hurt. Just a blah game.
Yeah. I don't think Will Fuller is breaking the record this year now.
No, he's gonna really crank it up the next few weeks.
He needed three this week.
Yeah. I really gotta shout out the guy he's chasing, Michael Floyd, for getting 2 touchdowns and 113 yards on my bench.
Big fan.
No, just a very blah game. Take the win, move on. Hopefully the committee doesn't watch it. I'm not even worried about that. On to Boston College at Fenway Park.
Interesting venue.
I was reading up on BC. I got some numbers for you guys on the next pod. Oh, my gosh.
Cannot wait for that.
Please, are they going to be offense or defensive numbers? Because I don't believe they keep track of the numbers that they do on offense.
The defensive ones are pretty remarkable. But the offensive numbers are equally remarkable.
I didn't know they had enough numbers for them to keep track of on the offensive side.
Oh, man. I'll fill you guys in later on in the week.
Do you need one hand or two hands to count all those yards?
Not many hands. So, yeah, Notre Dame wins. Just move on. On to Boston College.
Yep.
Penn State was on a bye. They're getting ready for Michigan. So we got Louisville,
Boston. No off weeks, though.
And Michigan.
Big week of practice.
Big week of practice. What else? What else do you guys want to get to? Ooh, so what else? Some guys you cannot blame this week.
I have one. I got mine. I'm saying it first. It might be the same guy.
Okay, go ahead.
Jordan Howard from Indiana. Was that yours?
No.
Okay, 245 total yards and 3 touchdowns in a losing effort in double overtime. We talked about it earlier. He's from Indiana, for those that haven't been listening.
Free UAB.
Whoa.
Free UAB. He used to play. Joe Huebner, for sure.
Yeah.
K-State quarterback. What is he? Is he their fifth string guy, Cam?
I believe he's a second string guy.
Second string guy. I didn't know where in the rotation he fell.
No, but he has gotten hurt before this season, so
this guy's they've gone to line. Game of 14 carries, 9 yards, 3 touchdowns. I love that from a quarterback. But the real guy I wanted to get to was Super Bowl Richardson, guys.
Ah.
You can't blame him for that collapse because he didn't play.
I remember I was watching and they showed him in senior day celebration. So good job, good effort in the senior day celebration. Or Super Bowl, Sam.
I was kind of upset he didn't play, but Joel Landing, 14 carries, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Did very well.
Threw the ball decently, so I guess I'll hop on Joel Landing's train.
Yeah.
I didn't think of a nickname for him.
Joel Landing and Freds.
I will say that you cannot blame Mitch Leidner for Minnesota's loss. He played a very solid game and is quietly having a very solid season. 19 for 27, 259 yards passing and a touchdown, along with 32 yards and another touchdown on the ground. He's a very solid football player and he's done well this season.
Good deal. You guys got anything else for tonight?
I've got a couple things, and I mentioned it on the account, but shout out to Slippery Rock Football and offensive coordinator Zach Patterson and the rest of the team and staff. Second consecutive PSAC championship. They are dynasty, and I hope you guys are with me. I'm busting out my pen on Wednesday, and we're picking the bracket. The Division II bracket. Oh. They are a 2 seed in, I can't remember which region. And then I've also got some takes on the Pitt-Gonzaga game. AY alluded to in the opening, but I want to save it for the end here. First of all, I thought Pitt was playing really well, and this is definitely fueling my hot takes because I think they may have actually ended up winning that game. I am all for this. I thought it was neat when Michigan State and I can't remember who they played against off the top of my head, played in I think it was an Air Force base maybe in Germany a couple years ago. How many Marine, any military forces bases are there across the pond? Probably too many to count. Can we get it in a place where you can actually survive the conditions and complete the basketball game? I mean, it's not like they just decided last Tuesday, hey, let's move this to, let's flex this game to Japan. You know, like, can we get an engineer on the case? This can be Dave. Dave can do this.
Dave.
Because he's what, civil?
No, he is, in fact,
mechanical, right?
Industrial,
whatever. Dave, assess the climate, assess the capacity that a gymnasium can hold, because I don't think they did either of those when picking Japan, Okinawa in particular. Can we just get this going forward for the sake of other teams that may be playing in this classic for years to come? That's all I want. Keep doing it. I'm fine with it. Just don't do it at that venue or any venue that can't handle the conditions surrounding it. Jesus! I'm done.
No, that works. I echo that. Ken, you got anything else?
I got nothing else. I got nothing else.
Can's leaving the station.
Can is leaving the station. I would like to update you guys on the Ross and Brero Team Ka fantasy matchup. Still down to Ross and Brero. DeAndre Hopkins has 0 points.
Not good.
Not good.
I hope he's not hurt.
I as well. Mike Nugent kicking again.
You might be coming back. Good deal. check us out on Twitter, guys. Holy Try Football. Send us an email. Tell your friends. Leave a review. Give us a star. Whatever it may be. We'll be back later on in the week previewing a very big week 12. Getting down to the nitty gritty. Some games this week. Real fired up for that. Dan, is that pick game at home or away?
That pick game is at home. The remaining two games are at home. That front-loaded so road schedule. You'll
both be in stadiums this weekend. Okay, sounds good.
Yep. You will not be in Fenway?
I will not be at Fenway. I will be in Timonium outside Baltimore, Maryland.
Nice.
Nice.
Same thing.
Yeah, hop, skip, and a jump. If you're playing golf, it's like a par 30 to this intercity. You're going to get a 3-wood there. So that's all I got for me, AY, here, coming to you from the beautiful state capital, Collin, Pennsylvania, and for D-Berg, to my west this week.
Good night, all.
And Kanzu in New York City.
Everybody, au revoir. Stay safe. And especially to our friends over in Paris.
Yes, very nice touch there. How are we going, guys?